Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go again. Yeah. Anointed Truth.
We in the building.
Gotta watch what these people be feeding you. You know what I'm talking about?
For real.
Can't just eat anything. Listen to me. Here we go. Let's tell them.
Beware of Pharisees' bread. But this will probably be the realest thing you'll ever quote. You steady laughing, hee-hee, like it's a joke. Low-key, jump and fly while you shading folks. I'ma take it slow so you can understand. You may be made in his image, but you still a man. You telling me life for real, like you seen the plans. Sometimes I think you the one, how you need the land. Like the man that built his house upon the sand. You're listening, but ain't following his command. Got my armor on, doing everything to stand. Every started off slow, now Anointed Truth is no demand. I don't do it my way, I do it God's way. Out of the mouth of babes, I call it child's play. I'm sticking to the plan, yeah. I won't deviate, nah. I just wanna be successful, I'm on my Drake.
Yeah.
Beware of Pharisees' bread. Beware. Don't let them get in your head.
I'ma put it on the track and let y'all run with it. I'm having vision after vision and I'm gon' get it. Gated community somewhere, I'm unlisted. Staying on the battlefield, see I'm enlisted. Every day is like Christmas cause I'm so gifted. God doing something, feel my situation shifting. Your home playing going sideways, you're drifting. He said if I lift him, he would lift me. I'm a light on the hill for the world to see. All eyes on me, I declare and decree. I'm in achieve mode, no devil stopping me. I'm in God's army, being all that I can be. Definition of a G, you better Google me. The Black Prince of Preachers is what they call me. No ghostwriter, I'm original, this all me.
Beware of Pharisees, bread. Beware. Just remember what the word said.
Hey, what that word say? I hit them with that word play.
Never seen the righteous forsaken.
Holy
seeds have to beg for bread.
What it is, and what it do. Y'all know what it is. This is Elder Andre Prevost, a.k.a. the Black Prince of Preachers, is in the building on today. The Anointed Truth of Christ is most definitely in the house. We want to thank everybody for tuning in, everybody for calling in. And you know what it is. It is Friday, the first Friday of the month. So it is Men's Day on the Holy Ghost prayer line, hosted by none other than our very own newly ordained Bishop, Matt Page of Cat Church Incorporated. So without further ado, let me connect you all to the Holy Ghost prayer line and Men's Day.
They dug a pit for me. So let sudden ruin overtake them. Let them be caught up in the snare that they set for me. Let them fall in destruction in the path that they dug for me. Then I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad because of I will be glad because he rescues me. I will praise his name from the bottom of my heart. Lord, who can compare with you? Who else rescues the weak and the helpless from the strong? Who else protect the poor and the needy for those who rob them? Malicious witnesses testified against me. They accused me of things I do not even know about. They repay me with evil for good I do. I am sick with despair. Yet when they are ill, I grieve for them. I even fast and pray for them, but my prayers return unanswered. I was sad, and as though they were friends or family, as if I were grieving for my own mother. But they are glad now that I am in trouble. They gleefully join together against me. I am attacked by people that I don't even know. They hurl slander at me continuously. They mock me with the worst kind of profanity, and they stare at me. How long, O Lord, will you look on and do nothing? Rescue me from the fierce attack. Protect my life from these lions. Then I will thank you in front of the entire congregation. I will praise you before all the people. Do not let my treacherous enemy rejoice over my defeat. Do not let those who hate me without cause gloat over my fall. They do not talk peace. They do not plot against people who are minding their own business. They shout that they have seen me do nothing wrong. Ayah, they say, ayah. With our own eyes, we saw him do it. Oh, Lord, you know all about this. Do not stay silent. Do not abandon me now, oh, Lord. Wake up. Raise and defend me. Excuse me. Rise to defend me. Take up my case, my God and my Lord. Declare me not guilty, oh, Lord, my God, for you give me joy. Justice. Do not let my enemies laugh about me in my troubles. Do not let them say, look, we have wanted it. Excuse me. Do not let them say, look, we have what we wanted. Now we will eat him alive. May those who rejoice in my troubles be humiliated and disgraced. May those who triumph over me be covered with shame and dishonor. But give great joy to those who stood with me in my defense. Let them.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
Let them continuously say, great is the Lord, who enjoys helping his servant. Then I will tell everyone of your justice and goodness. I will praise you all the day long. I like that song because, you know, I come from a place that was very dark. And at times in life, you know, I thought that God had abandoned me. I thought that he didn't hear my prayers. But I come to learn that it's not about my timing, it's about God's timing. You know, and it's like with me, it's a testimony that sounds means a lot to me due to the fact that I'm in a very in a very unique situation. And I am blessed beyond measure because at one point, you know, a lot of people turned their back on me.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
My family was in like a disarray, you know, and through the grace of God, right, I was able to, you know, stand tall. If it wasn't for family, I wouldn't be able to do it. But through it all, it was all about the Lord. And that Psalms right there is so profound because, you know, wow, it's amazing how God can work through us, especially when we don't see his work in play, you know. But when it comes to fruition, you know, all we can do is just give him good praise because he has
hung up.
No, I guess the time ran out, but thank God for his.
He probably going to call right back.
Amen. Amen. Is there a song now? Anyone got a song?
Yeah.
Hold on
1 minute. Let me put it on now.
Thank you. Amen, amen, amen. We are live on the Holy Ghost prayer line. I do apologize. They be trying to do a little bit too much. But, like, I'm going to hit you with this. He's sweet, I know. Y'all know who it is. Y'all going to take this old school.
Sweet, I know. Oh. He's sweet. I know storm clouds may rise, strong wind may blow, but I gonna tell them do it. Everywhere I go. What you gonna say? What you gonna say, greater traveler's rest? That I found a Savior. And he come on, in spite of what you're going through it. Help me say, he's sweet, I know.
Of the Lord. This is hosted by Bishop, the newly ordained Bishop Mac Page. of Care Church Incorporated. Bless the name of the Lord, also hosted by Sister Denise as well. We are connected from Texas to California. We invite y'all to call in and be guests on the Holy Ghost Prayer Line. We are here Monday through Friday. Bless the name of the Lord. And the number is 774-220-4000. Once again, that number is 774-220-4000. Those of you watching on Blog Talk, listening on Blog Talk, amen, the number, amen, should be, hallelujah, in your detailed comments. And be sure to leave a comment and a testimony on the goodness of the Lord in your life. We would love to hear from you. Amen. Once again, this is the Anointed Truth of Christ Worldwide Ministries, and we are broadcasting the Men's Day Holy Ghost Prayer Line. Amen. Hosted by Bishop Mac Page. And now we are going to get back, amen, to the Holy Ghost Prayer Line.
And even though I don't see him, when I see the sun come out, I know he's there. When I breathe his breath, every time I take in, I know that he's there because he's the air that I breathe. He's everything. And so, you know, you can't deny that there is someone that's giving you breath, that's giving you life, and just giving you health. And everything there is, God is still God. Amen. No matter what everybody else thinks. Amen. One thing I always like to go on record, amen, sometimes you just have to, you know, go on record of saying things, because sometimes whatever it is that we do, people don't like to keep record of it, you know. And so if you can keep some records of some things, then you know what's truly happening is because you got it on record, you know, it's on record. And I think that is when John wrote scriptures, he wanted to put it on record to say that certain things were so. And he said, I got it on record that Jesus was raised again on the third day. It's on record. Yeah, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes it, I got it on record that he was raised on the third day. Amen. That he died and rose on the third day. And then John goes there, well, I got it on record in the second chapter of the book of St. John. He said that he turned the water into wine. Amen. And when they didn't have no wine, amen, he turned the water into wine, that he was a miracle worker. And John said, I just put that on record so that when you read about it, you can believe and believe that Jesus is the Son, was the Son of God. And he just said, I just want to put things on record so that you can know that these things are so. Because he put it on record, make sure he got it on file. And he filed these things in the second St. John chapter 2 of the things that was done when he turned the water into wine. And so he want to make sure that everything he says is true, and that you can always go back and find it somewhere, or something that he did in life, and so that you can believe. It's all right, all about if you can believe. Can you believe? Can you believe that a man came and had the spirit in him, had the spirit of God in him on the earth, and did the things in which he did? And so it's not kind of hard. I don't know why it would be so hard. We couldn't think that a man could come and do such things. When you look back in the Old Testament, you see Elijah doing some things, and you see Elijah raising somebody from the dead. You see Elijah working some miracles, and then this man comes, but nobody wants to believe that he is really the one. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, it's so simple. You know, I don't know why we like to make things so hard about this man. We call him Jesus or Yeshua.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
Hallelujah. And so those are the things we want to talk about today, is because if you know that this man has done something for you, then you need to go on record and saying what this man has done in your life. Now, we know in the sixth chapter of St. John, he got it on record here that Jesus took five loaves of bread and and two fish, and he had a multitude with it. He was like Moses in his time, that Moses was able to feed people manna from on high, but he took five loaves of bread and two fish and multiplied it and was able to feed a multitude. So it shows that this man we call Jesus was a miracle worker. And so John put it in here in John chapter 6 and said, I want to go on record that I was there and I saw this take place. And so that you might believe that when you need a miracle in your life, that he can work that miracle in your life. He can take the little that you have and turn it into much. But John said, and I'm going on record to let you know that this was done, you know. And all down through St. John 6, all the way down through 1 through 11, he said, I'm going on record to bear witness that this thing took place. And so today, you know, if something that's taking place in your life, can you go on record today and say that Jesus did a certain thing for you, or where he brought you from and what he brought you through? You see, you need to put it on record so that maybe it's being written down in heaven somewhere, and God is keeping up with the thing that you said about him, and he wants you to go on record to say that these things took place. Well, in the fourth, in St. John chapter 4, we can see that, St. John chapter 5, we can see that the man, he healed a man at the pool of Bethesda. You know, that was a place where impotent people lay. You know, in verse 3, it says, a great multitude of impotent folk, halt, blind, waiting for the moving of the water, you know, and for an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. And whoso being first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been that long, now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Will thou be made whole? Infinite man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, I love to keep it down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. Well, John said, well, I'm going to reckon and say that Jesus met the man at the pool, and Jesus looked at him and saw he had been in that condition for a long time. Now, I don't know if some of you have suffered a condition for a long time and you need to be healed of that condition. I'm going on record, just like John went on record, to tell you if you got a condition in your life that needs to be changed and you had that condition for a long time. He said, John said, I'm going on record here to tell you that Jesus is a man that can take care of a condition that you had for a long time. I don't know what it is you've been waiting on all your life and all this time, but John said, I'm going on record to tell you that if you're impotent, you can't get up, you can't walk right, that Jesus can change your walk you need to change your life. And so he's going on record here to tell you that Jesus can change the way you walk. And if you've been in the same place for a long time and you want to move out of that place, that Jesus can give you the ability to come out of the place.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
And so I'm giving you time to go on record. And we're going on record today to tell everybody just for a while today. I know some people are trying to hang on. But we're going on record today that we want to tell where God brought you from or what God brought you through. And that's what we want to hear. We want to go on record today to say where God brought you from or where God brought you through. And we want to hear about that today. And I know we got a brother on, amen. I know his time and clock is ticking. So we want to give the brother the same time. We want to give you a chance to say something. But go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Brother Jesus,
Please call right back. If he's actually taken off from school so he can do a testimony, so when he comes back, if you can, give him a little space.
Hey, Rob wanted to do that, but I don't know when he comes on and when he comes out. You know, sometimes those things, they get hid from you, so you can't tell what's going on.
Okay, he called Denise. He calling right now, Denise.
Okay, amen. Praise God.
I'm gonna get him back. I'll get him on right now.
Amen. Come on in, Brother Duke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we got Brother Andre on here too, Bishop. So got to get the men on because they'll get off.
Well, we're trying to get them, especially those who, you know, they got problems getting in, and they just getting in because, you know, they.
There you go.
So,
hello?
Yeah, tell us where God brought you from or where he brought you through. That's what we have a men testimony today, and we're giving the men a chance to tell their story today.
Amen. Come on, Brother Duke.
Okay. Foremost, let me just say that I'm one of the types that's very uncomfortable talking to people that that I don't know, or to, you know, when I have an audience or whatever. So it might not come out as I wish, but I hope that you guys understand what's in my heart and what I'm trying to convey. You know, the Lord has been good to me, even though I'm in a very unique situation. I have come to realize that, you know, I was raised, me and my sisters and brothers was raised in, by a parent that, taught us nothing but evil. And through the grace of God, you know, he has, turned that pain of being beaten, being cussed at, being degraded, being said, told that you would never be nothing, being told that you're ugly. You know, I'm a condemned inmate. And, you know, it's through the grace of God, you know, I was able to come from that dark place of San Quentin to where I'm at today, in a prison to where that I'm not handcuffed and I'm not shackled, to where I can fellowship at church, to where I can go to school, or what have you. Yeah, you know, in San Quentin, we didn't have none of that. And, you know, and my deliverance come from, you know, at one point in life when I was out in the streets doing the things that I shouldn't be doing, you know, I was literally raised by the streets. Literally taught by the streets, and literally everything that was embedded in me was about the streets, and it took me to go through where being convicted for what I'm convicted for to realize that there is a God. You know, I shouldn't be here. I should be buried years ago. You know what I'm saying, through the things that that I have done, the people that I have hurt it, you know. And it's like, you know, sadly, the way I was taught, you know, I was taught that was the right path to go, you know. And fortunately, our family is a Christian family, you know, but the devil has a stronghold that we can't see at times, you know. And it's like, you know, I'm just grateful of God to show me that, you know, there's a life outside of crime. There's a life outside of you know, the path that I was taking. Because, you know, in life, I learned through Christ in life is that, you know, I always thought that I didn't have love. I thought I didn't have guidance, right? Even though I really didn't, I had it in certain spots that I could have took. and he opened up my eyes, you know, because I had got married in 97, been with my ex since 91, and she divorced me in, like, 2014 or something like that after I caught this case. And it's like, you know, at that point, I felt alone, you know, because not only when she divorced me, it seemed like everybody else did too. And I turned to God, you know, and I asked him to deliver me, because when I tell you living on death row is something that I would never want anybody to go through. That's a place to where it's literally dark. It's literally nothing but evil in there. And I used to sit in my single man cell wondering, how did I get here? You know what I'm saying? What is my purpose? Because back in 92, you know, I had got shot. They put me in the hospital in intensive care for 7 days. You know, and in Proverbs, it tells you, I'm not paraphrasing this right, but it tells you if you see danger ahead, go the other way, basically. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it put me there. And it's like through my whole entire life, you know what I'm saying? I've been not listening to the signs that God was giving me. You know, and it didn't make it any better that I dropped out in seventh grade and never been back to school. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, through God's grace, he, you know, took me up out of all these situations and showed me through him, anything is possible. Anything is possible. You know, and it's like I'm struggling with this test. You know, I'm in an unfamiliar, it's like traveling in uncharted waters. You know what I'm saying? I'm not used to this, right? But I know God wants me to speak my truth. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just struggling on how to speak my truth. And I best believe next Men's Friday I'll be more comfortable. I'll be more able to, you know, convey what I want to convey to you guys. But I really need people to understand that no matter what you go through in life, because let me tell you something, there's not too many people that have went through the things that I have went through. And if I can find joy, if I can find peace, if I can find wisdom and understanding in through the Lord, through the things that I'm going through or the things that I have been through, no matter what you're going through, you can get through it. You know, because it's hard when you in the position that I'm in and you feel that everybody done left you. You know what I'm saying? You don't have no support here. You don't have no support there. And then when I put all my trust in God, you know what I'm saying? It's like all that changed. You know what I'm saying? And it's like every step I take, every day, he shows me something different. And it's like, you know,
this call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
I'm so grateful that, you know, I'm able to walk to school, walk to here, walk to there, without being shackled, without being changed, without being treated less than. I mean, you talking about being treated unhumane. You mean talking about treated like you're not a human. You know what I'm saying? Where I come from, they treat you like, oh, my God. I mean, it was tough. But through God, he got me through it, because I was been isolated for literally until I got here where I'm at today for literally 17 years. And my mindset was through that isolation 23 hours a day, sometimes not coming out of the cell for a week or two or so, you know what I'm saying, really did a number on my memory, did a number on my whole psyche, you know what I'm saying? And I literally ain't even overcame that isolation yet, you know, and it's through God that he's giving me baby steps to learn from my, you know, the trials and tribulations that the devil had put in front of me. And let me tell you something, I'm a living proof that the devil's a lie. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
He's a lie, you know, and he put all these glorious things in front of me, and I'm thinking that, oh, this is a blessing from God, but this is the devil working his work and doing what he do. You know what I'm saying? And it's through the Lord that I am able to see now and to able to, you know, walk away from the traps and the snares that he's putting before me. You know what I mean? Because when I tell you that it's a blessing for me to be on this phone with you guys, you know what I'm saying? It's a blessing for me I hate to say this, but if one of y'all could just imagine being a condemned inmate to come into where I came to, you know what I'm saying? Coming to the dysfunctional family that I have, you know what I'm saying, to where we coming together now, you know what I'm saying, through the grace of God, you know what I'm saying, through his power, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I just want to say that, you know, I don't care what you're going through in life. I done prayed a million prayers and used to get frustrated at God as to why he don't answer my prayer, why he don't love me, and why he's not watching over me. But that was the devil telling me that that's what he wasn't doing. All this time he was. You know what I'm saying? Because the times and hours when I felt alone, you know what I'm saying, he was with me. He comforted me. Even though I was missing that human connection, you know what I'm saying, that human interaction, you know what I'm saying? Even at the times when I was able to see my family and test them for the first time for the first 2 years when they came to see me, the devil had me so messed up to where I was in a four by four cell with my family that was snugged up in there, and I was ready for them to leave just because I wasn't used to human contact. You know what I'm saying? And it's like today, I wish that y'all could have seen me 3 years ago, 4 years ago. There's nowhere in the world that you would be like, I'm the same person that I am today. You know what I'm saying? And that's through God's grace. That's through what I'm telling you. I don't care what you're going through in life. God can do it about it as long as you trust in him and believe in him. You know what I'm saying? Because the devil had, because I have strong beliefs, and I still have strong beliefs that I will not cross. And it's been a time when just fairly last year I had, let me share this with you. Last year I was going into the visiting room to have a visit, and I was told that I was assigned to this certain seat. And the certain seat was in the front, you know what I'm saying? So I asked the officer politely, can I go to the back? He became disrespectful, and I asked him, why do I got to sit here? He said, because of my status, which he means I'm condemned because they want to watch me, whatever. And the pilot program that I was on, you know what I'm saying, you have to be good for 5 years. You come here, they got to treat you like everybody else. To make a long story short, I questioned this man's authority. Why is I'm being discriminated against? Why is he talking to me like this? And he terminated my visit. And the devil got under my skin, and I got up and I told him, you know what I'm saying, how wrong he was for lying, saying that I called him a bitch and so forth and so on. To make a long story short, he wrote a false report, and it ended up me getting sent to the hold. It ended up me being charged with assault on a peace officer. But through the grace of God, though, right, you know what I'm saying, they saw the video. It proved that I did not jump in his face. I did not lunge at him. I did not do all the things that he lied and said that I'd done. You know what I'm saying? And this one thing that I have learned is that God let us go through things for a reason. He's not letting us go through things because he's punishing us or whatever the case may be. We go through trials and tribulations for a reason. And it's us to be wise enough to understand, you know what I'm saying, what his purpose is, why we going through this, learn from it, and hopefully not go through it again, and hopefully teach others so they don't have to go through that. And I'm just saying that, you know, the devil is alive and kicking, and he is the man. Oh, my God. You know, I got so many stories to tell. I don't even know how to speak and how you.
Thank you.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
It's just through the grace of God that, you know, you try to portray. One thing is about it, though, right, to make this officer feel stupid, right? He going to sit up there and say, I don't have nothing to lose.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
But I have never had a write-up since I've been down. I never had been admonished for anything since I've been in this situation. You know what I'm saying? And all that came to fruition. You know what I'm saying? And it's like through my teachers, through everybody came and stood up over me and told me how my my supervisors at work, everybody came to bat for me. You know what I'm saying? But that's through the grace of God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if we these evils that we have today, through racism, through the systemic racism, through the system, throughout life, period, we can overcome this. God is good. God is good. And I just pray, hope that you guys continue to pray for me, because this prayer line has been a complete blessing. It's been a icing on the cake that was already tasting good, if you understand what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? God is blessing me, and he's continued to bless me through you guys. And I just pray that...
Well, praise God. Praise God for that testimony. Amen. That here is a man that's been incarcerated and been through the thing, and we listen to him talk about that. I mean, hallelujah. I'll let you know, the only thing that, as long as your mind is free, amen, it don't matter where you are. If you're free in your mind, free in your spirit, and that's where God sets you free, amen. So I'm just listening to him and listening at the thing that he's going through and the things that he's been through, and he's still being inspired by God. Now, that's what I call the testimony there. He's not looking at where he is, complaining about where he is. I know he wants to be, he's going to be, get out, and I believe God's going to deliver him, because he's been a testimony to God's grace on the inside, and God's going to bring him on the outside to be able to tell somebody else about it. Amen. And so he'd be a good instructor. Sound like to me, he would be a good instructor. And so praise God for that testimony, man, that a man is in the place where he is and can give a testimony the way he gives it. And we got those on the outside, they don't even have nothing to say. I wonder about that sometime. So let me see if anyone else got it. They want to go on record and see what they got to say. Who else is on today?
Brother Andre's here.
Brother Andre. Amen.
Amen, amen. Bless God on today. Thank God just for being on the line today, everybody in attendance. Just want to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's funny because some of y'all know my testimony, how I used to, you know, be I guess you want to call it a worldly rapper, a circular rapper. That's the politically correct term. And I got a call from a dude I used to rap with back in my 20s, and you know, he was asking me why you changed the life around and can we make some new songs and can we do what we used to do. And I was telling him, wow, I can't, you can do what you want to do, but I can't do that no more, you know, because God got me on a different path, you know, because we was leading people astray and we didn't even know it. We was just trying to make songs that sound good. But then I told him, when I go back and listen to the songs we made, I'm appalled by some of the stuff we were saying. So I thank God for him giving me a mind to change the music that I was putting out back then. And I just thank God for, you know, having a renewed mind and being able to come up out of that, out of wanting fame and fortune. Like Pastor was on the... Bible study on Wednesday night, he was saying, you know, you got to deny yourself, die to yourself. Basically, we need to stop being selfish and start being selfless. And I realized wanting to perform the music that I know would get me on, would make me hot, would put me out there and blow up and get a lot of money was selfish, because how many people am I leading astray while I'm lying in my pockets you know, driving fancy cars and wearing designer clothes. So, you know, I just thank God for a renewed mind and a change of mind. And I got this song, Heaven or Hell. I done played for y'all before, and I'm going to play it for y'all again. It's called Heaven or Hell. It's a song I made specifically for the guys out there on the street. It's a remake. I took Meek Mill's and Jada Kiss beat, but y'all check it out. It's called Heaven or Hell.
Nobody.
Yeah.
We all get caught in our own sins.
We do.
Nobody.
Sometimes I have to rely on myself. Bet on my worst day.
What's that?
Nobody.
I live like somebody on their greatest.
This call and
don't let the demons take you down.
Gangsta, gangsta, gangsta.
Introduce them to heaven.
Niggas go to college. Niggas go to jail.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wanna fail. Nobody wanna die.
DC3.
Nobody wanna.
Hey, I'm finna kill this track though.
The things we do.
Yeah, the things we do.
Make it.
Yeah, just to make it through.
Nobody wanna lose.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna fail.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna die.
Nobody.
Hey,
listen to me.
Yeah.
Choices turn to decisions. Uh-huh. And we were told to do the right thing and we didn't listen. Ask God's forgiveness 9 times out of 10. Give us a second chance, we gon' do it again. Me, I fall short every day. And ask God's forgiveness every time I pray. Truth is, I probably need the most help. I'm trying to help y'all when I need help myself. Look, I'm really preaching to the man in the mirror. Every time I read the word, I see things a little clearer. With God on my side, it ain't nothing that I'm fearing. And I ain't even driving, let the Lord do the steering. It's like down, it's starting to look up to me. Men of God, y'all starting to look like frauds to me. You don't like what I'm saying, then sue me. I've been through the fire, ain't nothing that you can do me. I'm like Daniel, I ain't bowing down to nobody. See, I'm trying to serve God, and you trying to serve money. When I switched my style, God said switch it back. He gave me the world and said take control of that. It's my time now, you can't stop it, it was written. I'm trying to lace you boys up, but you keep tripping. You already leaning, but you boys keep slipping. But it don't cost nothing if you boys pay attention and listen. Yeah.
Niggas go to jail.
Yeah, they do.
Make it into heaven.
Uh-huh.
Make it into hell.
It's all about choices in the city.
Nobody wanna lose.
Yeah.
Nobody wanna fail.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna die.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna care.
It's the things we do. Uh-huh, just to make it through.
Make it through.
But the truth is that nobody,
wanna lose.
Nobody,
nobody wanna fail.
Nobody,
nobody wanna die.
Nobody,
we're just trying to live.
Listen,
yeah.
Decisions turn to consequences. It's what happened when we hard-headed and don't listen. You creepin' with your boy, girl, and you know you're wrong, old boy. Pop that thing, see your home, now you're gone. You're on the block and it's hot and you're holding weight. You're stuntin' on them boys, I'm surprised when them boys have. They drop a dime on you, set you up, get you killed. You need to watch the people that you're breaking bread with. My circle's so small, it's a straight line. Won't set me up, I ain't going down for now crime. And I ain't riding cross town with you just to make a drop. Had me on the news with you, running from the cops. My mind on lifting Jesus up to the top. Then out the blue, I'm pulling something new off the lot. Hop out of the church house, like what you talking about? It's raining blessings in my life. I'm stacking up for the drought. Death and life, choose life is what he told me. Then he took me to a place on high, and he showed me everything that he had prepared for me. There I am, staring at me, I'm on the TV. And I ain't go to college, and I stayed out of jail. Jesus paid my way to heaven and kept me out of hell. Sold to the highest bidder, see my soul was for sale. Will I reach my destiny? Only time will tell. But yeah.
Niggas go to jail.
You see it?
Make it into heaven. Ooh, so make it into hell.
I know I do.
Nobody wanna lose. Nobody wanna fail. Nobody wanna die.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna care.
It's the things we do. Just to make it through.
Make it.
Yeah.
Ooh,
but nobody,
nobody wanna lose.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna fail.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna die.
Nobody.
We're just trying to live our lives.
Yeah.
Consequences.
consequences lead to repercussions. You reap what you sow, that's the end of discussion. I give it to you raw, I ain't sugarcoating nothing. You was capping on them boys, then they came back sudden. They was packing artillery, you ain't even know. Your boy set you up and y'all been down since 94. Man, the love of money, that's the root to it. And it don't take much, a couple dollars to do it. Watch that, you never know how that's gonna come back. Cause everything you take, somebody gonna wanna take that. Haters get hated on, and they hate it. Catch you inebriated and faded, they being shady. And that's the reason why a lot of people ain't seen me lately. They smile in my face, shake my hand, and they hate me. Man, that's the world they living in. I love y'all, low, I just want y'all to repent your sin. And if I did you wrong, forgive me, let's begin again. Life is too short, and when I die, I wanna make it in. Time is moving fast, we the ones that's moving slow. And when it's your time to go, you won't know till you go. I done done some things that I ain't wanna do. And I ain't proud of what I did what I had to do. Now I don't wanna lose, don't wanna fail, don't wanna die. And the day he calls my name, y'all, I wanna fly like Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my testimony. I just thank God for bringing me out, and it's back in your hands, Pastor.
Well, amen. Thank God. Amen. That our eyes get opened up and realize we're just not doing things for the money. We're doing things that somebody might be saved. And we don't want to just do something because we have a right to do it and not realize that somebody's life you can be destroyed. Jesus didn't come to the take man's life. He came to give his life for them. We're not trying to be somebody. We want to just make it in. Praise God. And so thank God. Is there somebody else on the line? Anyone else on the line today? Amen.
Brother James, just somebody got off.
Brother James.
Yeah.
And Brother Michael didn't show up today?
Not yet.
Amen. Brother Bryant didn't show up, brother. Well, amen. Well, praise God. We just get back on record, amen. We just get back on record. And then, and if there's no one else, the way I'm going to do it today, amen, I'm just going to go back on record here because I'm still dealing with the thing. I'm still working on the self-denial thing because I'm still trying to get myself together. And I don't know whether y'all are trying to get yourself together, but I'm still trying to get myself together because I still acknowledge that I can't be a help to somebody else until I stop focusing on myself. Amen. You can't do nothing for nobody else until you...
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
Until you start focusing on yourself. And, you know, just on the record, you know, when we talk about, I was talking just for the record, amen. Just for the record, you know, when I thought about when Jesus was headed to the cross, amen, and he was getting ready to die, you know, he went on record to say, it's not my will that will be done, but it's the Father's will being done. And so when you think about what he did for us, he's saying it's not what I desire to be, but it's what God desires. And so when we get to a place when we have self-denial, we're not in, it's not our own desires that we're working with. We're supposed to be working for the Lord because we've been bought with a price. And if you know you've been bought with a price, that means that you don't own yourself. Someone paid for you. And then you don't really have a right to yourself because you sold yourself. It's almost like when a man sells his soul, and then sometimes the devil take advantage of that. You know, we got all of these people today you hear about that sold their souls, and they don't have a right to do certain things, and they don't have a right to say certain things, and they don't have a right to go certain places, and they have to sing certain songs. But whatever string the devil pulled for them, that's the one they have to take. And we need to be careful about who we sell our soul to. But Jesus has already purchased us. Now, when I look at Matthew 26, and when Jesus, 26 and verse 38. Mm-hmm. 26 and 38. Then said he unto them, Matthew 26 and verse 38. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell down on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And we can see Jesus here, even the thing that he's on record, amen, that he came to a place in life that maybe that was something he really didn't want to do. He had a cup that had to be drank, and he came to a place that he didn't want to drink it. But he said, let it pass from me. But when he asked, so was there another way? But really, there was no other way for it to be done. And there are some things in your life that when you come to be a change, there is no other way for it to be done. There's no other way that you can get rid of your old self and have your new self to come in, that one of yourselves got to die. One of y'all got to go. What I'm trying to say, well, one of y'all or one of us got to go. We can't be both of us in there running the business. It's only going to be one or the other. It's only going to be one head in your life. It's either we're going to allow God to be the head of our life or we're going to be the head of life. And so it can't be two. It's not our will. It has to be God's will. So that the thing of giving up oneself is made that I'm giving up on me. I have decided that what I'm doing ain't right. What I'm doing ain't getting me nowhere. What I'm doing is not changing. So now I got to find another way. And Jesus come along and St. John 14, he said, I am that way. You do it the way I did it. I came to a place that I realized there was something that needed to be done, and there was no other way for this thing to get done without me denying myself. And so thank God that he was willing not to do his own will, because his own will would have been to live. You know, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake, he shall find it. And so here Jesus comes to a place that he realized that he got to lose his life. He got to drink that cup that God has given unto him. He got to suffer for sin. And even though he didn't commit it on his own, but he still got to drink that cup, because he wasn't allowing himself to be beaten. He wouldn't allow himself to be punished because he did something wrong. He was doing it for somebody else. So in order for him to go through this, he gave of himself.
Line muted.
Think about himself, but he gave of himself for the well-being of somebody else. You see, that's what self-denial is all about. You're going to give up your right for the well-being of somebody else. And this is what we have to come to in these last days, because there's too much pride, there's too much arrogance going on, because we're looking down on people. They're not trying to help people up. But when you deny yourself, then you don't have nothing to look down on. The only reason you look down on somebody is because you don't lift yourself up. And God never told you to lift yourself up. He said he'll exalt you, but you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. And I was wondering about the disciples and things, and I was like, well, what about the disciples except for now? They really had to deny themselves. They gave up on everything. And when you find somebody that gave up on everything, man, you say, well, wow, man, how did you do that? He said, that comes through self-denial. So I got to forsake some things in this life in order to have things in the next life. I've gone through hell in this life. There's no need of me going through hell in the next life to come. So they all have to have a self-denial. Mark chapter 10, verse 29, amen. We're just going to look at some scriptures, amen.
Hey, Bishop, not to cut you off, my apology, but we do have a brother on the line. I'm going to get him in so he get off. Brother Coleman's on the line, not to cut you off.
Well, we were just waiting on somebody.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brother Coleman.
Well, I'm just listening today, Saints. I'm just listening.
So you're just listening today?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Oh, well, we're going to give you opportunity. I know you got a lot to say, but sometimes, ain't none of us perfect, brother, but when we say perfect, but we are perfect in Christ, but you're not perfect in your flesh. You're going to do wrong. But you don't stop testifying because you still catch yourself in some wrong sometimes. Amen. Sometimes a good testimony will help you get over it.
Well, with that being said, well, let me just say this. God is good, and God is good all the time, and God is good to his children, and God's been good to me in spite of me. You know, because to be honest and to be transparent, I've been dealing with some struggles and some challenges, and that includes mental health challenges. I've been struggling with sin and some bad habits and some vices, and I've been disobedient to God, and I've been having ups and downs and being in this funk and this rut and in this season, for a little while now, and I know that I'm living beneath my privileges as a child of God, due to these things, but at the same time, I know that God is still good all the time. And God is good to his children, and God's been good to me in spite of me. And God still has been blessing me with his goodness and his mercy and with his unconditional love and his amazing and saving grace that saved a wretch like me, and with his unmerited and undeserved favor and blessings and his unmerited and undeserved favor and blessing and anointing has still been upon my life. And God has still been providing for me. God has still been blessing me with his providential care. And God has still been dealing with me. And God has been dealing with my heart about true repentance and about totally surrendering my heart and my life to him and rededicating and recommitting my life to him and total consecration. Total consecration to him. And I thank God for that he's still dealing with me. And he's just been dealing with my heart about trusting him and being faithful and obedient to him and seeking him and following him and serving him and being a doer of his word and his will. And he's been instructing me to just begin to seek him diligently with my whole heart and seek his word and seek his spirit and seek his manifested presence and seek his face and seek his heart and seek his mind and his ways and the things of God and seek the will of God and seek God's will and plan and purpose for my life and seek to walk that out
and live that out. And that's where I'm at. I'm at a place where I need to recommit and rededicate my life to God and really because I value my relationship and my fellowship and my walk and my friendship with God above anything and anyone. And that's where I'm at, where I need to refocus on strengthening my relationship and my fellowship and my walk and my friendship with God and strengthening my spiritual foundation so I can overcome these struggles and these challenges and do the will of God and lay hold of the promises and blessings that God has for me. And I'm committed and I'm determined to doing exactly that.
Amen. Well, praise God. It seems like you got all the answers, Doctor. Amen.
Well, to God be the glory. He's been dealing with me, and he's still walking and talking with me.
Amen. Yeah, it seems like God gives you all the answers. He's already told you what to do now. I guess there's just come a time you just got to put that in action. So we all have a struggle. You know, we don't look down on nobody in a struggle because we all struggle with something. It just might not be the same thing. And so all you got to do is seem like you already know what it is that you need to do, and you just got to put that in action. You know, faith requires action.
And
that's what we said, faith is that word. Word that God has given you, just got to put it in action. That's all it sounds like to me. It seems like God has already told you how and showed you the way, but it's up to you that to walk in that way that God has already shown you. The things that you already know you need to do. Then the thing, if you know you need to do something, you just got to work. Just got to do it. It's a battle in the mind, battle with your own will to do it, but you can do all things. Yeah.
Amen.
It's not that you can't do it. It's just that you just got to decide. You know, once we decide. Now, I'm battling some things myself, brother. I'm trying to get that mental. I'm trying to get mentally. Mentally sick.
Okay.
And so that is, and that is why I've been talking about what I've been talking about, because I'm dealing with myself mentally. It's not just can't be an outward thing to know something, know it, but be willing to do it.
Okay. Amen.
You got to overcome, you know, that struggle, that going back and forth, you know, that. You know, today it says do it, and tomorrow it says not to do it. And this morning, you wake up in the morning, you start on a course and something, before the day out, something and change your mind.
Yeah.
And we're fighting with that. And so sometimes a little fasting, a little prayer, and fasting, prayer, and get back in the book on the subject of the thing that you're dealing with, whatever it is that you're dealing with. You got to get on that subject in the Bible and keep reading it back and forth. So I've been, some things in my life, I've been changing. My thought process is changing about a lot of things now than it used to be. And so we are all changing. So don't give up on God because you're not doing everything right. If you don't stick with the Lord, if you don't stick to the vine, you know, you're just going to die. So always stay a vine. The branches got to always stay attached to the vine. Amen. Is there someone else come on this? We try to give all the meaning.
We have sister, we got to get a man. We have Sister Felicia's brother on the line.
Amen. We want to give him an opportunity to see where God has brought him from and what God has brought you through.
Go ahead.
You have 60
seconds remaining.
Hello,
brother.
Go ahead. We're here.
Oh, okay.
I hung
up. I'm sorry.
it's, you know, it's like my first time really speaking out loud, you know, in front of people or on the phone with a lot of people. So I might be a little nervous, but I just wanted to let you guys know what God...
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
God has done for me, you know. God has... ever since I was younger, I suffered from, depression. And I always was stressed out behind little things and worried about little things. And that broke me down to... Well, that was a part of me looking for a family in the streets. So I joined up with a couple guys, and we ended up, you know, starting a block together. And we speed them up through time, though. You know, it flip-flopped for me to where I started using. And I lost, like, everything I had, every friends I ever had. And, you know, and I had to just humble myself and get back on up. And as I was getting myself together, you know, I started working, started using again. Then I go back to hustling. And then, you know, I got, on this time, I ended up getting shot. And I was, you know, put in the wheelchair, and I was canes and stretchers, and a cane, I can't think of it right now, but anyway, I went from a wheelchair to a cane, and but what I'm trying to say is I know that God's grace is carrying me to where he wants me to be. So from all that...
Okay, I made sure she knows. Okay, so I told her it's cloudy. So I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Okay? Mama, I'm so...
Hello?
Go ahead, brother. Yeah, I need
to hear. Oh, so for all that, God's grace is, you know, he carried me, covered me, you know, to where I was able to heal without you know, having too many troubles. You know, I can heal. I can basically I'm saying by troubles I can heal, because I became homeless, so I didn't have nowhere to go to heal. But God's grace carried me, you know, to the point to where I was safe. You know what I mean? I was secure. I didn't have to worry about that. And at the same time, I was focusing on my sobriety. So that leads me to where I'm at right now. I got put into a place where they help individuals that was once homeless get housing. So it's temporary housing on its way to full-time housing. And they help us get jobs and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, though, how God changed me, or God came into my life, I can see it, because what I've been through, he turned me around to where I can honestly say that, you know, God is real, and I believe in that. You know, I believe in God, and I believe in everything that, you know, God has said to us. So now, you know, like I say, I'm a couple months off of being fully recovered. A friend of mine had offered me a job, and I'm supposed, like I say, I'm going to get housing. So, you know, but I mean, personally, though, I believe that was all this things that I've been through was for me to get ready for God to change me into the person he wants me to be. Because I know, like, there's nothing new under the sun, like Ecclesiastes says. You know, everything happens for a reason. So, you know, and I believe that God, you know, he knew that I was bitter and broke down, and he fixed it for me, you know. It was a little suffering. It was a little suffering, but, you know, it's going to be better at the end, you know, because I can see it right now. Because I'm better than where I was last year. You know what I mean? I'm better before I went, even when I was just on the street using before I got shot. I'm better than I was. You know, my mind, I can think clearly. You know, I learned a lot about myself through this time. I don't, you know, I used to worry about other things, other people. Now I focus on me. And that's all what God is preparing me to become the person that he wants me to be. And I just want to tell you guys, thank you for letting me share with you guys this morning.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Oh my God!
That we appreciate you coming on, and we don't. We're not here to condemn. There's nobody better than anybody else on this line. We all been through something. Some of us had the drug scene. We had the jail scene. We had the sex scene. Everybody been through the same thing. So you're not going through any more than anyone else has been through. But we just thank God that God's going to turn that around for you. That's what he said. He calls everything to work together for the good. I think that's wrong. Romans 8:26, he calls it to work together for the good. And so sometimes God has to put a hedge in front of us, and because sometimes we're going a certain way and we won't turn around, in order to keep you from going that way, he has to put a hedge in front of you to turn your mind. And so it was like me, I ended up in jail myself because I wasn't busy and I was hard-headed. But it only took 4 hours to convince me. 4 hours of jail time was enough to convince me. It didn't take me a year or 10 years to convince me. But those 4 hours, when I heard the door said, bam, I was convinced right then. God didn't have to say nothing else. I see it, Lord.
Your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
So God had given me enough grace at that time to turn then. And some people, you know, he give them grace, but they still don't listen. But thank God that I was able to listen. And thank God that you are able to hear now. And so I believe God's going to use you for his glory. That's why he left you here, so that you can be a witness and to tell someone else not to take the same road that you took. Amen. Not to go down the same path that you went down. Is there someone else? Has anyone else come on yet?
Not yet, Bishop.
Amen. And so that's why we were doing it that way, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, when we talk about things like that, Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Amen. Amen. Well, Romans 8 and 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. In other words, we don't owe our, see, when we talk about the flesh, most time when we say we're denying ourselves, we're talking about our flesh, our fleshly desires and our fleshly will. And he said, we're not indebted to it because it's been bought. And so you don't owe nothing to it. That means you don't have to work for it. And so we're not debtors to the flesh, but we're in debt to the one that gave his life for us and shedded his blood for us. We're indebted to our spirit. And so he goes as many as verse 13, for we are, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If you live after your own desires, you're going to die. If you're just living to do what you want to do, it's going to lead you to death. If you're just acting the way you want to act, it's going to lead you to death. And anytime you're doing that, God don't want you living for yourself anymore. If you can put your mind on that I'm living for somebody else, my purpose of living is to be able to help somebody else. My purpose of living is to be able to construct something for somebody else. You know, sometimes if you think about what you're really living for, maybe God meet you to, he might have called you to invent something that will make the whole world better. No, we might have some inventors on the line that they can make something to change the whole world. But if you think, but if you're only thinking about yourself, you're only going to do the thing necessary for yourself. Well, I got a little money. I got a little food. You know, I got a place to stay. And then you come, become self-content. But when you focus on someone else, maybe you might make a machine or something. Like one guy made a machine that draws water out of the atmosphere. You don't even have to go to a river or anything. He just... See, you get ideas like that when you start thinking about other people, when you not just have self-centered. See, self-centered people don't have vision. They don't go any further than themselves. They don't look beyond. God wants us to start looking beyond the scope of things, not just looking at for the now, but looking beyond the things that's going to, even someone might be able to create something that's beyond here. But if you be selfish, you never see any further than yourself. But when we look in the spirit, you see beyond. And if we're going to live a life of living beyond and seeing further than we are now, we can't focus on the now. You have to also focus on the later on. And God wants us to focus on not on just the now, but focus on the later on. Because what with the life that we are living now, we're living this life because we're expecting a better life to come than we had here. You know, you're going to a place where we say there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. And I don't know, won't he give another 9 to 5? That would be good enough for me. Amen. No more 9 to 5. Amen. No more crying. And so you're looking for something better. But if you just live in the now, you'll always be set in the now and you will never move forward because, yeah, I'm thinking about self. You know, the reason we get into these spheres of life is because it also become about you. And you're thinking about what I can get out of it, but you're not thinking about the destruction that you can do to somebody else. So if you was focused on the other person and you had love for a person, then I wouldn't do nothing that's going to hurt my brethren because I'm concerned about him, but if I'm just focused on myself, I don't care what I do to my brother. And I, you know, if I poison him, I don't care. You know, if I cared about my brother, I wouldn't poison my brother. But if I'm thinking about myself, only about myself, then I'm not considerate of my brother. If I love my brother, I wouldn't go out and kill my brother. You know, we go out the street and say that we love one another, and you know, when, and then we shoot one another, then how is that love? How is us killing one another? How can you call that you loving your brother? Or the main thing we say, well, I'm going to only love them that love me. And then if you got a mindset that you're only going to love those that love you, then you don't have no feelings for the other man. And that is our problem right there. That you don't have no feeling for the other person because you're only going to treat the one that treats you right. You're only going to treat them right and not realizing that we wouldn't treat the Lord right and he still loved us anyway. He still did for us anyway, but we're not like that. That's why we have so much killing going on because the person is only thinking about themselves. Now, when I did what I did, you're right. I only had myself in mind. I'm going to protect myself, and I'm going to kill you before you kill me. I'm going to do something to you before you do it to me, and that always going to keep me in a frenzy all the time. You know, you're walking down the street, you're looking around, and you're looking behind you, and you're always emotional. You're just watching out, trying to see if something to happen, and so that you can respond to it. That's why you're watching. But when a guy walking in peace, he's not walking looking back. Amen. He's walking in confidence because he don't have no worries because he know God is taking care of him. But when we become selfish, that's what happened to us. You know how we selfish people. We got a lot of selfish people. You know, this is mine. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. And you can't have none. This is mine. I can't share with you because this is mine. You know, they just hog up everything, you know. They just claim it, and they don't want nobody to be a part of it, you know. This is mine. I don't want nobody to. This is mine. You get yours. What are you, selfish? We got a lot of selfish people. This is mine. No, you're selfish. So you might not know yourself, but you are a selfish person. You're always about what's mine. Don't want to share. Oh, no, I can't share. No, it's mine. I got this, and you got to get yours. What kind of person are you? What kind of love is that you're showing to somebody else? Come on, you're selfish. You might not know you're selfish, but you are a selfish person. Anytime you don't want to share something with somebody, that shows you selfish. Because, see, we don't look at things like that. We just think about, well, I'm going on. No, you're selfish. You need to repent of that, too. It's not about you. You might not think that you're fleshly, but you're fleshly too. Because anytime things of the flesh is always thinking about himself. A person of the spirit, he gives, he shares. He don't just hold it all the time. He don't mind sharing, amen. He don't mind giving. He don't mind bestowing something upon somebody else. And so we got to watch our selfishness, amen. I got to watch mine, amen. I got to watch mine, you know, my selfishness, amen. Because I can be selfish in some areas. But I realize that I'm not walking after the flesh. I don't owe my selfishness anything. I owe everything to the Christ that saved me because he's the one that died for me, and he's the one that gave all for me. And if he had been selfish, he wouldn't have shared his love with me, you know. His love was shed in on us by the Holy Ghost. So he shared something. He shared something with me. He could have kept it all to himself and claimed it himself. He could have claimed the sonship by himself, but he didn't want to claim the sonship by himself. So he came and he shared his sonship with us. He became one of the brethren. He's not ashamed, but the Paul said, he's not ashamed to call us brethren because he was willing to share the inheritance with us. But he could have been selfish, you know, kept it all to himself, didn't want to share it with nobody, but that would have been the flesh, would it? That would have been the fleshly way of doing something. But he wanted to do the godly way of doing something. God shares and gives of himself. He shares himself with everybody. He don't just keep everything to himself. And so when you're walking after the flesh, you're going to walk selfish. Is there anyone else online yet? Anybody else come? Are we going to get off here in a little bit?
Yeah, I had one brother I was trying to convince, but he doesn't want to speak. So that's it so far, Bishop.
All right. Well, he's trying to think. But what I'm trying to say about our selfishness, you know what I mean? We got to get rid of our selfishness. See, walking after the flesh is walking in selfishness. You don't want to share your testimony with nobody. That's selfish, you know. I don't like to say it like that. But, you know, because this is why we are so free on this line, because we want to share. We want to share our experience with others. You know, I want to let you know it because you might have a situation in your life, and if you got a situation, I want you to know that our God can help you. He can bring you through. He can get you out. He can raise you up. He can turn things around for you. He can open up the jail door for you, prison door for you, and get you out. So we want to share our testimony because we don't want to be selfish. Hallelujah. Because of what he's given me, I want to share with everybody else. But if I'm selfish, I won't share it with nobody. I'll take it all in, and I won't give nothing out. So how is it that the Lord, he said, I give seed to the sower, and I give the seed to the one that was sowed, but a selfish person won't sow. A selfish person, he'll eat his seed, and he'll keep everything he got. And he won't give to nobody else. So he's a selfish person. So that's what the Lord said. I want you to get rid of your selfishness and start sharing with everybody else. If you don't have nothing else to share, share your testimony with everybody else. If you don't have nothing else to preach it, preach your testimony to what God did for you. And you don't need a lot of scriptures to do that. Those words will be in your mouth. Those are words that come from your heart. And everybody, you know, sometimes you can tell when it's coming from heart or just coming from mouth. But if you've been through something, you got a testimony to tell. And most of us, you've been through something. And because you've been through that thing, why don't you tell somebody else where God brought you from? And we men especially, because we always be the quiet ones. Now, women don't have no problem talking now. You can believe me. Praise God. When you get home in the evening, where you been? What you ate today? What you ate for lunch today? Mm-hmm. How long did you stay there? Mm-hmm. They're going to ask 100 questions about the same thing. Amen. Because they want communication. Yeah. Yeah. What you had for dinner? Yeah, where you go? Where you eat at? What kind of sandwich was it, you know? Did you have any mustard? Did you put mayonnaise on it? What kind of drink did you have? Was it a Coke? Was it a Dr. Pepper? It's because they want to talk. And all you want to do is rest. You just want to shut up and let me go sit down and let me get in my chair and sit back. But no, she has to talk. Yeah. They don't mind. But we see, all she's trying to do is get you to share your experience with her for the day. Tell me what you did, honey. I just want this. I want this to share in that today. I want to, did anybody bother you? Did you have a good time? You know, she just wants to know what your experience was, you know, for the day. But men can be in that area. We selfish. Woman, let me sit down and give me some quiet. And stop my ears up so I don't hear nothing for the next 2 hours because I want to relax. But that's selfish. She'll be selfish.
Hallelujah.
See, that's not why relationship is good, because somebody is selfish in the relationship. Somebody don't want to give. Everybody want to receive. See, giving of oneself is about giving and receiving this walk that we're in. Flesh doesn't want to give up anything. The flesh only wants to have his way, and it's not going to give up that. Now, I remember when we talk about the difference between when we say self-denial. Self-denial gets when you're willing to give up everything. Now, I don't know what, I haven't got there yet, amen. I haven't got there yet. That when the Lord asks you to give up something, and then... I came to that place one time and I didn't do it. I was hard-headed. The Lord said, leave your job. That was way back. He said, leave your job. And I was moving along pretty good at that time, too. And I was doing good. Pretty good in the ministry, you know. Having a few little miracles, a few little signs, a few wonders at the time. And the Lord said, leave the job. But I didn't have the faith to leave. And so I was disobedient. I couldn't deny myself because look at here, Lord, you know, I'm making six figures a year, Lord, on this job here. So you expect for me to leave this job and go begging folks for money, and they don't even want to give you a dime, and you want me to go out there begging, Lord? I didn't understand the thing about denying yourself at the time. But that's the way I looked at it. I never wanted to be a burden on nobody. And had to ask nobody for nothing because I was kind of selfish, you know, in certain ways, you know. And I didn't obey God, and so therefore I missed out on a lot of things that I probably could have had. But because I was selfish, I was thinking about myself, and I wasn't trusting in God, not believing that God could provide everything. You know, when he sent the disciples out, and they came back. He said, did y'all lack anything? And they said, no, Lord, we didn't. So he wanted them to know, hey, if you go out and do my work, I'm going to provide for you. Amen. If you just trust me, I'm going to do for you. But when you give up something for the Lord, when you say you deny yourself or give up something for the Lord, Mark chapter 10, verse 29, he said, Mark chapter 10, verse 29, And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mother, children, lands, and persecution in the world to come, eternal life. There's nobody who has given up anything that won't receive more back. But whatever you give up for the Lord, that's what he's saying. Whatever you give up for my sake, you'll receive it back. And so then, if we start giving more of ourselves, the more he'll give back. See, if we're still giving the Lord more time, he'll give us more time. So whatever you give up for God, he always gives you more back than you had in the beginning. And so we need to give more. If we give more prayer, he's going to give you more knowledge. If you give him more word, everything you give him more, he always going to give you more back than you sold. The more you give up, the more you get from him. And so the more of your life you give up to him, the more life he gives back to you, the more his life he gives to you, because it's about you giving up your life, unless he gave up his life for you. You're supposed to be willing to give up your life to him. You give up your ways for him, and then he'll give you his way. So it's an exchange in everything that we do. And if we're going to be on the line, no matter whether you're male or female or whoever you are, it's still about how much of yourself are you willing to give to the Lord. It will be how much of your life he's willing to work with. It's not a really up to him, it's up to you, because he's done everything that he needs to do. He's already died, and he's already made a way. He's already gone before you, and he's already seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's already in his place. And he said, now, I just want you to follow me. Do you see the way I did it? Do you see how I laid down my life for you? And do you see what I gained for laying down my life? Are you ready to give up the old life? Yeah, that's the thing you got to ask. Do I want to give up the old way for the new way? Do I want to give up the old life for the new life? How much are you willing to give? And he said, there's nobody that has given anything that he won't give back to you.
And so is there somebody? We got Brother James on the line.
All right, Brother James, we're giving you time, Brother James.
Mm-hmm.
How you been, Brother James?
Well, I'm going through it, you know. it's a blessing to hear your voice this morning.
Well, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so God did something to you at home, didn't he?
Huh?
God has done something good for you, because you always got a testimony. Something always good happening around you.
Well, something good always happening around me. Oh, man.
Bring up that past. Talk about your past, Brother James. The past, not the current.
Past. Well, I had people call me. I got my tooth pulled the other day, yesterday. Got my tooth pulled, and my sister was calling me on the phone to find out when the next appointment is. And the phone was ringing. So, you know, I had to answer that. And I have the man of valor here. He's at the house, and he's doing work around the house. That's a blessing right there, you know. I got some help from the men of valor.
Amen.
And he's a hard worker. He's a hard worker. And he paints my house and he does inside work too. You know, wash dishes and all that stuff. He does everything. And it's a blessing that God sent him here, you know, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, and we talk about different things, we was praying, we almost had my car back, but I didn't say the right thing to the man, and I was expecting the man to come back by, but he didn't come back by. But we're waiting on him to come back by so I can tell him what I got to tell him, and then he can get my car back. I need to pray about my car. Pray that the car is going to come back to me.
Amen.
Well, praise God, Brother James, that we pray right now. Father, we pray right now for his car to return. And the Lord, you already know those who took it, Lord. And Lord, cause it to bring it back and restore all things back to him that he's lost. So Lord, the Lord, you're the one that can restore that which is lost. And you're the one that can bring back the dead to life. And we want to thank you today, Lord, for blessing him, O Lord, and that his property be returned to him in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, praise God, praise God. Amen. Just want to thank y'all today. Amen. Everybody that tuned in, we're not going to hold anybody. Everybody hasn't showed up. I guess they wasn't going to show up. And we expected some people. They didn't come. But we don't ever worry about it. Amen. We just have to keep it moving, keep it going. And I just thank all of y'all for tuning in today, everybody that's on now. And if is any prayer request, anything to be made right now, we want to give you time. And because somebody wants
line unmuted.
And we want somebody to be saved. And we try to give these things so that somebody might come and someone might say something and someone might say, well, I've been through that.
We have 60 seconds remaining.
And so if you want to be saved today, we just want you to make a confession today and just open up your mouth and say, Lord, I just want to be saved today. And then we're going to read the word for you. Is there somebody today?
Well, we want to thank everybody today for calling in to the Pantry of the People Christ Worldwide Ministry. And this has been the Men's Day, Holy Ghost Prayer. We thank God for each and one of you. Remember, you can call in every first Sunday, every first Friday. Praise God, and the number is 774-220-4000, and the access code is 719-2020, get us 774-220-4000, the access code is 319-2020. That is every first Friday of the month at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Mountain, and 8 o'clock Pacific time. We thank God for each one of you. Everybody have a good day out for the car. Like we always say, don't forget. So say your prayer to see God and manifest in your life or tomorrow. In case you didn't know, there is a blessing.
This album is dedicated to everybody that's been close. I hope you've enjoyed this record. I hope it's ministered to your heart and soul. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. And we'll be praying for your family too. I just got one more thing I want to leave with you. If you're going through something, family.
When I cannot feel the sparrow sing.
of y'all wouldn't pray if you didn't go through something. And when you go through something, that's where you meet Jesus. Can I get a witness of this? And listen, if you're really sick in your body and feel like giving up, listen.
When the sickness won't leave my body.
Yes, sir.
When the pain just won't leave my soul.
This is all you gotta do.
I get on my knees to say, Jesus, please.
Call on him, call on him.
There's a blessing in the storm.
I need a witness in here.
Help me sing it. There's a blessing in the storm.
Some of y'all have been into some bad relationships, and some of you had your heart broken and you've been lied to. I want to let you know that there is a lover named Jesus, and he will supply your every need, family.
When I cannot see the love again,
yes, sir.
And the raindrops cold, ever end.
But if you just hold on,
if you just hold on,
these clouds,
those clouds will soon be gone.
Yes, sir.
There's a blessing in the storm.
Come on, somebody.
Help me sing it.
Talk about you. Because remember,
there's a blessing in the storm.